All right. We got to play that at least three times every time.
Yeah.
What up, everybody? Welcome to the Comedians and Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donski Blackamora, a.k.a. Tanakatsu Tony, the Patreon right. Don, a.k.a. Donnie, I gave myself a new Donnie last week, but I don't remember what it was. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah. Donnie Booster?
Donnie Booster. I think that was what it was. Donnie Booster. Yeah. Everybody knows I've been sick out the ass. Getting way better. I'm feeling a lot better.
Ooh. Wow, what flavor is that?
This is a AHA sparkling water acai raspberry berry. Raspberry, not raspberry berry. Anyway.
Duh.
I don't know what this is. I got something weird. But anyway, what's up, everybody? Lots to talk about in the world of professional wrestling. Lots to talk about outside of the world of professional wrestling. I'm here with Nick Tulo at Tiptoe with Tulo.
That's Tiptoe, man.
Tulo, how are you, buddy?
I'm the Tiptoe man. Good. I just got finished watching episode one of So Help Me Tot. And guess what?
Of Star Wars, I thought you were going to say.
Episode one of Star Wars.
That is what I thought you were going to say.
So Help Me Todd, Skylar Astin. Wow.
Check out Skylar Astin, big, big star of stage, screen, and your mama's dreams, baby. Check him out on So Help Me Todd, mm-hmm. now every Thursday.
Primetime spot.
On CBS.
Great time for it to be on. There's no wrestling on. You know, make that your Thursday night wrestling. An hour, you know? It's like Thursday night.
Donnie CBS.
Yeah, we'll call TNT. Hey, Thursday night Todd.
He called up Skyler. I don't think Skyler will be upset if I said this, but Donnie CBS, the head of CBS, called up Skyler and he was like, yo, Sky. What's up, my dude? And he was like, hey, quick question. Is SmackDown still on a Thursday night? And then he was like, then Skyler was like, no, of course not. No. It's on Friday nights on Fox.
Sky.
And then he was like, oh, cool. And then he was like, is Thursday Night Thunder still on? But Skyler was like, no, that show hasn't existed in like 20 years. And he's like, all right, great. Because you know what exists on Thursday? So I'll be Todd on CBS.
Yeah.
Hey, well.
Thursday Night Todd's.
Yeah. Hey, while we're plugging things, first thing we plug is patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Yeah. Check us out. Get access to our bonus episode. We have the House of the American Dragon, where we discuss Game of Thrones, the new Game of Thrones. And
we have to Daniel do a
Ryan
new one.
For 10 seconds. We got to do a new one. Talk about we'll do a new one. We'll do one. We'll record the one like this weekend or something. We'll put one out.
I think Sunday I could probably do it.
And then let's give her. Oop, I had to cough.
Can I say one more thing about Skylar Astin?
Yeah, of course.
Have we talked about how he is EO Skylar Astin?
No, I mean, we have not.
Have we not? I mean, that just literally came to my head. I mean, EO Skylar Astin. EO Skylar Astin.
He is the Empress. Now
you say what's up?
He's the Empress of Thursdays. The Empress of Thursdays.
The Empress of the Sky, Skylar Astin.
Are you watching? So Help Me Todd. Ding dong. Hello.
Hello.
All right, everybody. If you don't, then I'm going to fight you in the fight pit.
Yeah. All right.
Let's give another shout out on the show to a friend. A friend of the pod, but never been on the pod, but a friend of mine, a dude I've watched wrestling with for literally years, in a well-deserved, awesome spot, Rob Fee.
Yes.
I've been seeing the dude who got hired as the title is WWE, the head of WWE long-term creative.
I mean, director.
Director like, of long-term creative. Rob Fee.
I don't know.
Guy, dude. The dude's fucking talented guy. I've talked wrestling with him many times. The guy knows his shit. And we're talking about this new regime of, the Triple H takeover. You know what I mean? And hiring a guy like that, you know what I mean? That's a great move by them. So I'm excited to see what Rob does. And yeah.
That's like a dream job. I mean, like to get that title, like that's what I like fantasize about. Like, I think honestly, I would be like, hey, Rob, you need an intern? 'Cause I will work for free. Like, what a fucking awesome position to be in or department to be in. Long-term creative? Yes.
Yeah,
Thank you.
we'll see what that means. I mean, the interesting thing to think about coming from that is for me.
Wasn't
By
like
the way, Tula,
Bray
can you
Wyatt at
turn
his
off
wedding?
the Avengers in the background there? It's just distracting me. I'm watching Age of Ursatron over there.
Age of Ultron.
Now, the Age of Ursatron. Now, look, but here's what I get skeptical about WWE. Is like if WWE is looking to hire a guy who's great like Rob P, you have to take my word for it, to be the director of long-term creative, right? That's fucking awesome. Assuming that he gets to actually work on long-term creative, right? My worry with WWE is they just have these like titles. You know what I
No,
mean?
there's
They
no,
just gotta have
no.
these titles that don't mean anything. You know what I mean? But boy, oh boy, bringing in someone who's actually smart, who's a writer. To work on actually long-term storytelling, which is what makes wrestling so fucking awesome. You know what I mean? I think that's a great idea. Didn't feel like they had that kind of a role like that from before. They would just kind of stumble into long-term storytelling, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And which, by the way, not to knock WWE for that totally, because wrestling is like not like it's like any other TV show where. You have to factor in injuries and stuff. It's kind of, sometimes you got to roll with what you got in the moment because these talents don't last. They get injured and, there's a lot of human capital. It's live television. So it's tough. It's very tough to be ambitious in that way. But with WB, with all the resources they have, now this is reported, right? That he's kind of behind a lot of the, you say it. So I don't know because I was saying,
What the Bray Wyatt stuff?
Is any of that confirmed?
That's what I heard. And then well, wasn't Bray Wyatt at his wedding? Am I thinking of somebody else? But I feel like Bray Wyatt was at his wedding.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt was at his wedding. That is confirmed. So, well, I don't know. Who the hell knows what's kayfabe, what's shoot, blah, blah, blah. I don't know any of it. But all I know is that, Extreme Rules is going to be very fun. So, congrats to Rob. That's very exciting. And
I have
also,
another shout
it's
out.
interesting. What?
I have another shout out. But you want to finish your point? You have something
Do
else
it.
to
No. Let's see. I also,
say.
well, here's the last point I'll make, and then we'll go to your shout out. Just in case that derails us too much. I like that Rob's an open mark, and is openly saying, like, yo, this is a dream job for me. You know what I mean? And that's something that rubs me the wrong way about WWE when they kind of shun the mark, You because they hire the wrong marks, you know what I mean? In the past, so it's like I understand why they've been burned by just hiring like some internet idiot, but that's because WB in the past has done really weird shit. Like, they don't like that people, they don't like if you have a manager, like if you're represented, they don't like that, you know what I mean? They like to hire people with like no experience, they do weird things like that I think is kind of odd. If you can hire people who admit they have a passion for this business, just like the wrestlers do, because every wrestler I've ever spoken to, and by this point is so many wrestlers, they're marks also. I mean, like, look at Cardona. Can you get markier than Cardona? He's like a WWE wrestler for 20 years, So I like that. Opening up the doors to the fans, I think is important for wrestling, considering wrestling, it's kind of its own niche thing in that way. Anyway, what were you saying? What was your shout out?
Shout out to the writer of episode 7. Wow. Episode 7. Dan's on an inhaler now.
Hitting
He's
my
been so
inhaler.
sick. He's has to be on an inhaler now.
This is my COVID inhaler.
By the way, you sound great. You sound way better now.
Thanks to the COVID inhaler.
episode 7 writer of She-Hulk, attorney at law, Cody Ziegler. And
oh my God,
some
have
are calling
not mentioned
it,
that?
We have. Well, this is his first episode that he wrote.
Yeah, and former producer of the show, Zig, for the long-term listeners will know, Zig is now a writer
right
for Marvel as well. Similar, Rob Peep is a Marvel.
He just got, he's just finished 5. I actually own all of them, I'm proud to say. Spider-Punk, 5 episode run. And then he just got, he's going to be doing Spider-Man Miles Morales. He's taking that over. So pretty fucking cool. There's a really awesome story about how when Zig was tasked with the role to write episode 7, he was trying to get a point across. I'm paraphrasing this, but he was trying to get a point across. And in order to do it, he pulled out a comic book out of his bag, and it was like marked to what, like the exact scene he was trying to describe. And he like pointed it out, and then they actually like recreated that scene in the episode. So talk about being a mark for something and getting a job for it. Yeah, that's a thing. So former producer of the pod, Cody Ziegler.
Hell yeah.
Love
that's
that.
Great. Cool.
Shout out to Iffy. He's in his boot phase, I saw now. So watch out. He's starting to wear boots.
Oh yeah, shit. Important stuff to note. All right. Can we get into this podcast or what?
Yeah, we can do it.
It's enough shouting out all of my successful friends. It's time for me to talk. Okay,
yeah,
Tulo?
Let's talk. Yeah, huh?
No, I love seeing everybody shine. It's beautiful. Truly beautiful thing. Especially in WB, which is just the land of jabronis. You know, so their hiring tactics are odd. So to see them doing better work, I love it. You know what I'm saying? Anyway... Where do we want to go first, Tulo? Because I know where I want to start.
Kind of know where I want to start.
I want to talk about the scissoring thing.
Okay. Hey, scissor me, man.
Is this scissoring thing? I find it tremendously unfunny. Okay. Now, what did I miss? What did I miss here? It's incredibly over, right?
Yeah.
The Acclaimed are very over. To be honest, they're probably the most
over part of the
entire show, right?
Less funny, more over.
Right.
And that's how it works sometimes.
Now, how did the scissor thing begin?
I think they just like started using it in the entrance, and they would just do the hand gesture, and then it got more over when Billy Gunn was with them, because then that's how the catchphrase
he made it in an innuendo.
Scissor me daddy ass, like suck it, you know, scissor me daddy ass. Boom.
Yeah.
So you could tell that obviously Billy Gunn, I mean, he literally abandoned his own kids for a tag team because he realized he could make a better stable out of these guys and he can recreate, which is funny because Raw, the new season of Raw is going to have DX on it. We're going to be celebrating DX on Monday. So it's very funny that we have National Scissoring Day on Dynamite, yeah, and then with a member of DX, and then we're celebrating DX on Monday. So I mean, listen, it's fun. They're highly talented individuals. Bones looks great. They're having a blast. Honestly, it's one of the bright spots in AEW right now. I mean, I don't know what that means for where they go. I mean, the tag division, that's the only, like, the biggest bright spot in the tag division, I would say. And I don't know where they go after this. It seems like Swerve's still involved instead of giving.
You cut out.
Mike.
You turn your mic off?
Turn my mic on.
No, they're still. Swerve's still involved. So they're still, like, doing the Swerve angle still, which I think is cool. I'm just like, I don't know. It was fine if you just mentioned the scissoring, but they leaned so far into the scissoring. But
yeah,
I guess they got the merch now too, so you can't knock it. But I don't know. Feeling with it was it's not what I want from AEW. That's kind of the feeling I had, which was
honestly
like the exciting.
I want more.
More scissoring?
At least I want more wrestlers leaning into things like something that fans can identify with. You know what I'm saying?
What, you saying the fans like the scissor?
Fans love the scissor.
No, look, everybody's getting the catchphrases over. The crowd likes to know what to do when it's when you tell them. Like, well, you come out, this is what you do when this wrestler's here, right? Like, it's kind of the fun of it, you know?
Well, yeah.
So I dig that. They have a gimmick that's over. Obviously, this stupid joke of, like, scissoring is just not – and, like, being, oh, it's a handshake. It's not that. But clearly they're, like, making a joke about scissoring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's whatever, but I like that those dudes are so over. The weird thing about AEW is, like, then FTR came out, like, during their segment, and then my brain is just going, oh, isn't FTR the champion? And they're like, no, FTR is the ROH champion, you know, which is its own thing. So, like, that's just so odd there because they have so many fucking titles floating around. I mean, we say it every single week, you know, but my brain literally just goes, like, wait, what? This time? Anyway, but no, the stuff I popped for in AEW this week, though, I mean, I thought the promos, to their credit, the Acclaim, their promos were pretty solid. They both were pretty solid. They were pretty over. They barely even needed fucking Billy Gunn.
I would even say Swerve came out looking great there too, as like a certified heel. You know, I mean, that's the second time he cut him off. He cut him. I'll use this to carry on to another point, but he cut him off. Like when right before he did a rap one time, and that's when like Swerve really started to swerve into a heel role. And then he came out before they could do the fucking group scissor, which leans into my other point is that it's not just scissoring that's over, right? It's the rap, it's the catchphrase. Everybody loves the Acclaim. They literally have a scissor move now, like where they hold the legs up. So like, talk about like doing all the right things. Gimmick. They're doing all the right things. Yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of gimmick tree.
And you know what?
It's there's a lot of that. It's the opposite of Cool Guy Alley shit. So I can't be a hypocrite. You know what I mean? For wrestlers getting shit over. You know what I mean? So that's it. It's just not my flavor, you know? But they did have some shit I like. Like, first off, obviously, one half of the tag team is a gay man, right? So that's pretty, you know, that like, the way they factor that in is not very like, I don't know what else to say. It's not very like cheesy or like, you know, like when they're like, oh, we wear pink, you know, everybody looks great in pink.
They
had some stuff that was kind of like, we're like all inclusive. And I thought that that stuff was pretty nicely woven in. I like the stuff about,
his
dad winning the NFL championship. Yes. In DC,
Anthony Bones is gay, right?
Yeah, too low. I just said it. Okay. You were looking at your phone. I got a work email. One half of the tag team is gay, and I like how they were factoring that in, where they're like, "We don't wear."
I believe Caster is bisexual.
Yeah,
yeah, I think Caster is bisexual as well too.
Well, whatever. They're clearly and more progressive. They're more progressive DX with an old. With an old 90s lesbian joke tied into them. But that all being said, they look great. They're clearly over. They're clearly treating it like they're on TV. The podium was nice. And what I did when you're saying when Swerve interrupted, what I liked about Swerve interrupting was that, you're right, what he said was exactly what I was thinking, where he was kind of like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? You know?
Yeah.
With the scissor. Like, he was like, this is dumb. So I kind of dug that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it. It's like I said, it's a bright spot for me. I think it's fun. I think it's a great way to get the crowd involved. What I could tell you is not a bright spot for me is, I mean, this is now Ring of Honor. I mean, it kicked off
the show with the Ring of Honor, I think, right?
It kicked off the show and it main evented the show. Also, we did not even talk about Sammy Guevara as well.
Sammy Guevara and Andrade, what, they fight backstage?
Yeah, where Andrade literally
over there.
It's crazy. And then Andrade got sent home and Sammy stays in the main event. Listen, I said it. I texted you this and then I tweeted about it yesterday too. But I went to go look at the rankings. So I was like, why would Willow get that win and go for the TBS championship? So I was like, who the hell is the number one ranked women's wrestler? So I go to the rankings. They haven't updated since August 31st. And they haven't been re-updated since the fucking bash at All Out, the Brawl at All Out, Brawl Out, they call it now, where after that, Tony has just abandoned the rankings and he's not using rankings anymore for the simple fact that that's why what we were talking about last week is like, you're like, the show needs structure. You're like, I like the rankings because you could be like, oh, this guy's fighting this guy. Nah, that's just gone now. He just has completely abandoned it right now. And that's why we're feeling, and I feel like a lot of fans, not a lot, but a lot, like the Ring of Honor stuff is getting so much in the way where now it's like, he's just pretty much booking whatever he thinks is going to get the best ratings, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, sure, there's some storytelling. Was Wardlow and Cage.
Wardlow, that's another high spot for me. Wardlow, mm-hmm. Brian Cage, like when that match was starting, I go, okay, yeah, this is the kind of shit I want to see this shit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you want to see it, but you know, like that, as cool as those spots are, beating Brian Cage, who is also promoted as he's in Ring of Honor. I mean, that's another thing, right?
That was the first thought I had when he walked out of the ramp. I go, wait, so they re-signed him to be in ROH, right?
I don't know, but like the whole promo package was about them being in Ring of Honor, right? So it's like, man, what is going on here? Like, are we building towards like Ring of Honor versus AEW? Like, or, you know, where's Claudio now? He just loses the Ring of Honor championship and he just fades into existence. It's literally, you could see it happening, is that Tony is putting together cards that he thinks will best get people to tune in and watch professional wrestling. Like, you can't look me in my eyes and explain to me
he's not doing that though? What makes you think he's not doing that? You mean because he's not following the rankings anymore?
Yeah.
So yeah, so you're saying, you're accusing him of putting on a TV show where that gets the max ratings possible. I mean, that's, no one's going to argue with you.
No, I'm not saying that, yeah. But like it's there's no structure now. The only structure, the pillars that were there is gone now, right? So you can, so that's what we were trying to figure out. What I'm trying to explain is what we were trying to figure out last week is like, I felt off about it and you were like, I need more structure and the rankings. But then I was like, yeah, but doesn't feel like, I just started realizing. I was like,
I see,
nothing feels, there's no rate. There's, people are just getting matches. It's all, a lot of it's like, oh, who's next up in line? Then you have a battle royale where a Hangman wins. Right before that, there's a chip involved. Like, you know, it's just like, oh my God. It's just like, and then all the Ring of Honor stuff. I had a tough time watching that show as a whole because I was just like, the main event is built around ROH storylines. It's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Jericho for the Ring of Honor championship. And then it's going to probably be Sammy Guevara versus Daniel Garcia, right? Like, I mean, right. He got the pin on Daniel Garcia. So it's like, when the All Elite are away, Tony will play. That's basically what it comes down to. And next week's in Canada. If fucking Kenny Omega is not there in Toronto, in Canada, I mean, come on.
Well, Kenny is suspended, bro. Kenny is suspended, bro. But it's crazy because like every time Hangman shows up, I'm like, I forget. Oh, he wasn't suspended, you know? You know, it is definitely, you know, look, I like, what are you doing? Get the ball. You can get the ball. So, yeah. All right. Let's move on to WWE for a second. We can come back to AEW, you know. But because this is the go home for Extreme Rules. I mean, this Raw, we haven't seen SmackDown yet. But this Extreme Rules pay-per-view, we complimented it all last week. And, oh my God, Christina's hopping through in a bikini. There's a lot happening over here, folks. There's a lot happening. I think she had some of the viral reds.
Yeah, she definitely had the fucking snake oil.
She just came from clown class. All right, so do the clowns know to close the door? Thank you. The door's back open. Anyway, we kind of had this card already laid out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything changed, you know? This card has been locked in for 2 weeks. which was my first thought, because I was like, what did they add this week? And I was like, oh, nothing. Right?
We pause for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You have to have some kind of disconnection interference going on. Are you touching? Like, is that thing anywhere near you? The Wait. iPad or something? Just unplug it.
How's it now?
I mean, now you can, I'm not sure, but it like keeps coming up. So I know it's going to sound like crazy, but it's fine. Just unplug
Wait,
it.
We had a tech. Wait, everything's unplugged. No. How's it now?
I'm still hearing it. Yeah, it's still coming in weird.
Is it a buzz?
Yeah, it's like a crackling every once in a while. We're just working Great. Through this. We're gonna work through this.
I don't hear it at all on my end, but I can swap I can swap a couple chords, people. How about that?
I think you're better now. That's better.
How's that?
Yeah.
I just tightened one of the connections, so my mic.
Okay, good. That's it.
All right, sweet. Thanks, guys. Anyway, this is extreme. Those are some of the extreme rules.
Extreme chords.
What I'm saying is, though, there's nothing been added. So you can just tell me it's fucked up again. It's fine. There's nothing. There's nothing added to the card since last week.
Yeah.
All they did was build the story that they've already laid out for us.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is it fucking up?
No, you're good.
What are you drinking? Pedialyte?
Yeah, I get some electrolytes in usually every day.
What's going on with you? You drunk?
No, I just like to stay hydrated.
Bro, I went back to
the gym. I'm extreme, bro. I saw you.
I went back to the gym today. Holy shit. I haven't been in the gym because of my sickness. I haven't been able to go. Mm. Holy shit, man. Woo! If you take a second off, it's one of them unfair. I heard Bill Burr one time say, like, it's like,
takes
you like 3 months to like lose 5 pounds or whatever, and then it takes like 3 days to put it back on, you know? You know?
Is that where the bit where he's like talking about like shoving like lettuce into your mouth?
I don't know.
Oh man, he's amazing. He's coming to Austin soon.
But like, God, like I was out of the gym for a little bit, laid out with sickness, and you go back in and your body's just like, nope, you're weak. You're weak now. Complete horseshit. And all I do when I have that is think about like how do wrestlers stay in shape with the schedules they have? How?
Because that's all they do. When they're traveling, they just go work out, wrestle, go
and that's
work
what people
out.
Say. They're like, oh, that's all they do. That's all they do. Bro, there's times you're doing truly nothing, right? And you still can't like motivate to go to the gym.
I mean, I have a gym like 200 yards across the way from me. I haven't stepped foot in it once. I've been here for a year and a half. I mean,
it's exactly what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, it's not to mention their bodies are fucking beat up from wrestling. And then here's where my brain goes. So my brain goes there, right? I go, wow, I can't believe they're staying in shape. And then my brain goes the next place, which is to like the Kevin Owens types. Could you also have the balls to be like, yo, I'm going to be like a top WWE star, but just be fat and not at all take care of myself? Because, no, I don't think. And then, like Kevin Owens, what kind of workout regimen do you think Kevin Owens has got going on? I bet Kevin Owens, his only thing he does is stretch. Owens only stretches.
I would say cardio. He definitely does cardio. You know, some kind of cardio, because he's got to keep. There's no, you have to keep up that stamina.
Let's
unless.
You think Kevin Owens talked to Asperger? Kevin Owens on his fitness.
I mean,
and I'm not even shaming him. I'm like, he's it's crazy that he's clearly an athlete, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, he's a prize fighter.
No one. Anyway, yeah. I'm reading so much stuff. Most of the stuff I'm seeing is hilarious. It's like Reddit threads of people being like, how is Kevin Owens so fat but still so good? Like, it's exactly me. It's like if I wrote on Reddit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cannot get enough. What do you got?
All right.
Was he in
this
Men's
Fitness?
This post
is from 7 years ago.
Okay. The last time you worked out?
This is a guy on, bro, this is hilarious. This is from Reddit. This is a guy on Reddit whose handle is Straight Edge Super, okay? And his name is My BFF Kofi, okay? It says, I think I think you're severely overestimating how much time Wyatt and Owen spend in the gym. Owens himself said on a podcast that he never really lifted weights at all until a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, stay strong. You have to, in order to, like, I mean, he's lifting up like 250-pound guys sometimes. You can't just, it's not just natural strength, like, enough.
I don't know, bro. Anyway, why does Kevin Owens? Oh my God. This is going, dude, I'm loving this. Why does WWE Kevin Owens have such a big belly? How does he do stunts such as a frog splash without his belly rupturing? That's the name of the thread. This is the name of the whole thing. It's about his belly rupturing.
Get off of Reddit. I mean, we're taking a Reddit detour here. Get off of that stupid site.
Bro. Oh, man. This is fucking hilarious. All right. Sorry. People are so funny. All right. Anyway, my body was fucking hurting, man. Hurting.
Yeah.
Then the next thing I think about is the guys who are going to come back. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton, when those guys come back.
Well, I heard there was a bad update about Randy Orton. Like, his back is, like, way worse than they thought.
No, like, really?
Yeah, I heard that.
All right. Wow, 3 days ago. People within WWE are reportedly worried about the health of Randy Orton. He's been out of action since May. The severity of his back is causing a lot of concern. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. All right. Orton has been... Oh, God, these articles bury it all. Anyway, cool. So this card's dope. So they keep building the stories. Like, had Cormier get involved this week when they were doing the fight pitch segment, which clearly was pre-taped. But actually, Cormier was pretty good in that, I thought.
Yeah, well, he's right? A professional. I mean, he's a MMA announcer. He's cut promos before. I mean, he literally had Brock Lesnar step into the octagon and face him face to face. Like, he's a big wrestling fan. I also heard an update that Seth Rollins was the one who reached out and told him to get involved in it. It was Seth's idea. That. Yeah,
that's a great idea. I'm pumped for that match. This is truly a card where I care about every single match.
The women's matches, Bayley versus Bianca in the first ever, which doesn't that sound crazy? First ever women's title ladder match in WWE history.
It seems crazy because they did them in NXT. Like, Bayley notoriously had the match with Sasha in NXT in Barclay, you know.
Right, but first time ever in a WWE pay-per-view, I believe, or at least in WWE.
That's actually nuts. That almost feels like not true, but maybe it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they said it in the pay-per-view, so that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I going to be interesting. What do you think they go with Ronda Liv?
It's a great question.
Right? Because, like,
I mean, I think
Liv
is
Ronda's going anywhere. Do you? They always, like,
I don't think
about
so
Ronda
either.
I think Ronda's kind of here to stay, you know?
I mean, if anything, this match is in. I also heard Andre the Giant said in, like, something that she's taking care of, like, personal issues or something. So I don't want to speculate, but maybe she's pregnant. Maybe. I mean, they did just get married.
That would make a lot of sense, right?
I don't want to speculate. I'm not speculating. I'm just saying that's a possibility. It's a very easy possibility. But I also think she might just be taking time off. And honestly, she could take it right now, because the longer she waits to come back and the more unexpected it is when she returns, the better it is for WWE, because she's arguably one of the greatest professional wrestlers in general. But yeah. Women's wrestler for sure. So, I mean, getting her into the mix of what's going on over there. I mean, that contract signing might have been one of the best contract signings I've seen in a while. It was awesome.
Bayley Bianca one.
Oh yeah, it was great.
Bayley's kind of growing on me.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of growing on me. I think she cut down the like. she was doing like a little bit of like an annoying thing, and she kind of just she's got more control over it. She has more damage control over
Damage
it,
control.
folks. And
there it is. I think we figured it out. She's got control over her damage.
She has more damage control where
The
she's hit.
the
She's hitting it.
ponytail thing, like
Yeah, it was
that
good.
was cool.
I think Bianca will retain in that match, but I do think that that is going to be a fucking great match. But Liv Rhonda, so what do you think you do there? Because it's like this is Extreme Rules match, right? So there's no way of this.
Oh, I think this is it. I think if you look at it, this gives Liv more of an advantage. Like you would think it wouldn't. Like, oh,
Right.
Rhonda and weapons, even though I think she called herself the most dangerous woman on the planet without a weapon. I think that's what she said, or
Yeah.
something along those lines. Most dangerous unarmed woman on the planet. I think that's what she called herself. Honestly, the best thing that ever happened to Rhonda was Triple H right now, because I think he's like using her kind of smart, like not having her say too many things.
Yeah.
Whatever she says is direct and to the point. She beats the shit out of anybody that gets in her way, including security guards, that to the point where they're like threatened that they think that she's gonna like do something terrible. They used her getting suspended and fined and her not giving a fuck. They're making her into I gonna sound crazy, but they're turning her into the woman version of Brock. That's what she's becoming in WWE. And honestly, not the worst thing. Not.
No, I think it's a good spot for her. She could also they could figure out a way to have Liv beat her here. You're right, because it's Extreme Rules match, so
Yeah.
she could like chain her, handcuff her or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a sweet way for Liv to eke out a
Think
win there.
and I think
Because do we
right
think
now, I
how far
think
do we think Liv goes with this title? I mean, we think Liv's going to Mania?
I don't think Mania.
No.
I don't think so.
Survivor Series maybe.
I have a very funny feeling that the War Games match is going to be like 4v4, and it's going to be the women's tag title, the Raw title, and the SmackDown title all involved. And that match will be for like all the titles, which would be fucking insane. You know, like Damage Control versus Bianca, Liv,
Right.
and a tag team to be named later, Sasha and Naomi.
You think at we head towards a Dom. When do we get the Dom Ray one on one?
That's got to be WrestleMania, right?
Do you think we can get that far? I don't
Yeah.
think so.
Oh
I
yeah.
think it'll happen before that.
I think we get that far. 100%. I think my personal opinion is I think the first face off should happen at Survivor Series in like a Judgment Day versus like AJ, Edge. Who's the other one they're beefing with? Who else are they beefing with? It's Edge. AJ, I don't know, Riddle's in there too, whoever.
You
But
talk about who's in the
and Ray, and Ray, and Ray. I'm thinking about Ray. And then the final two standing for each side is Ray versus Dominic, And I think that match will probably be like a hair versus mask match. And I think Dom, like that's Ray's last match. I think that's the best way to go out, man. If you're gonna lose on your last match, lose to your son at WrestleMania and fucking have him take over the mask,
These dudes, they don't. I was just thinking about like these guys. They don't retire, and they also don't like look so bad either. Like Edge and Ray. I was looking at all these guys. They're all these so many wrestlers
Why
deep
did
in
Ray
their
go back to
40s now.
why did Ray go back to the undie tights? The ones that like look like he's wearing underwear over his pants.
Yeah,
He
I
like
mean,
got away from those for a while and
he
like
put those back. I don't know. Sometimes he goes to those, and then sometimes he goes to the. He likes to wear the. This
Booyaka
real loose leatherette pants,
Yeah.
It was
I
like
haven't seen those in
UFO, like the Hardys. He hasn't worn those in a while, too.
the
Yo,
Jankos.
25 years of DX. We were just talking about that, dude. That I was like, what? Didn't we just have? And I'm like, no, that was Raw 25th anniversary featuring DX, right?
Yeah, and then we also had I think DX Hall of
The
Fame.
DX Hall of Fame.
It's
It's like, oh
the
man.
rehiring party of Road Dogg.
Yeah, Road Dogg back, and Sean back on.
And X-Pac and Sean Waltman.
Should be fun. Let's go talk about what's going on in AEW. Like, so Sammy Guevara and Andrade, you're saying, get into a fight backstage. And then Andrade was pulled from the Rampage card this week, right?
Yep.
So we have any idea what's going on there?
So it started off as Sammy initiating it, but now more people are saying that Andrade was it. And but it's the funny part is like Andrade like literally tweeted that what he was gonna do. Like he said something about like approaching him backstage, and like they did nothing to prevent it. It's like crazy. It's like one of my funny points is like Jericho comes out and says this is his locker room. He's the locker room leader. They do that whole powwow with Daniel Bryan and Moxley and Jericho. And Jericho comes out and cuts that promo. And then homeboy's fucking got double elbows, hands on the chin, smiling on top of Sammy Guevara in the middle of the ring after he causes another riffraff with another wrestler. And it's just like, or even if he doesn't cause it, he's involved in it, man. It's just weird. I mean, look at that match. Homeboy did a sunset flip or something?
Yeah.
A swanton bomb, and the crowd didn't even say anything. They're chanting "fuck you, Sammy!" Like they're booing him like crazy. I mean, the heat's good, but it's legit. Like it's less kayfabe heat, and it's more like actual heat. People are like, that shit broke right before Dynamite, you know, like or all day of kind of like Dynamite right before it, like 2 hours before. So like. Everybody's getting, you know, wrestling fans, you're in the fucking about to watch and you're seeing on Twitter, seeing what's going on. And all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, Andrade and Sammy, blah, 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 blah. Andrade sent home and then they cut to the promo and the homeboy's cutting a promo on the big screen backstage.
Right.
It's just like, you know, Jericho's the locker room leader until possibly something jeopardizes his main event, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no. Sammy's staying. He's in the main event
league. But they're saying that Sammy didn't fight back. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean,
that like Andrade, like, was, you know, Sammy was like, it was a very one sided fight. But they were warned about fighting earlier. I mean, dude, at this point, I'm just saying the backstage there is so hostile. Holy shit, man. I mean, it's crazy. It makes you realize why Vince was the fucking way he was. You know, obviously not a. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But here's the weird thing. I'm also reading that. Most likely, CM Punk has been balled out of his contract, you know, and we're not going to see CM Punk again. This is what I'm reading.
Just like,
did you see that?
I mean, I don't know what
CM Punk balled out of his contract. Like, they said that they'll still have the rights to his merch for 2 years or something, you know?
Yeah.
And, but, like, you know, he's going to get paid. Like, he gets paid, and but they're, like, getting rid of him. Like, man, that's fucking crazy.
He's on the cover of the new like video game, like dead center, like right in the middle.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy, I would kill to hear what these conversations were that you cannot figure a way to work that whole thing out. Because like, think about it. Now it's like a month later. Is anybody like give a shit what he said during the scrum anymore? Except for those egomaniacs, like, you know, the Bucks and whatever, you know? We're all just like, let's see what's best for wrestling. Because right now in AEW, you see Hangman, Mox. Mox is a very ineffective champion in AEW right now because it's not his fault per se. It's just like we knew it wasn't the plan, you know? We're kind of like, it doesn't feel like it's really his turn, you know? And then he's wrestling Hangman, who's clearly not in the mix at all, you know? And then they have shoehorned in MJF, who clearly had a whole other plan, you know? And look, it happens, because again, I was saying about the human capital element, but it does hurt the show when you're like, the top of the card is not properly built, you know? Interim, every champion's a fucking interim, you know?
Oh!
I'm serious. Tony Storm, they're like, women's interim champion, you know?
Yeah, and like they did nothing to, I mean, other than Jamie Hayter, that first of all, that actual match was really good. It was probably one of the best women's matches that's, and it wasn't in a weird spot.
It was
in
like a six man tag,
six woman tag, yeah. It was great, great match. Got about like 10 minutes. But like,
Sorry.
I
Oof.
mean, I guess Saraya is actually, after Britt Baker says she's not wrestling, I guess is actually going to wrestle. So we'll get Britt and Saraya, which pushes
Right.
things in it. But like, clearly this match was made to, I gotta think that Thunder Rose is probably coming back very, very soon, because it just seems like they've just literally been stalling, like, to build a storyline for the women's title, because they want it to be about Tony and Thunder Rosa, which is fine. But in the meantime, you need to start building up other women to be the one that's next in line, which, I mean, Jamie Hayter so massively over right now with the crowd,
Yeah.
and would love to see her versus Toni Storm. Would be just be insane. That's why I thought Toni was going to get the pin there, but she didn't. Willow did, and then she challenges the TBS champion, which, Willow Beach Jade.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I haven't seen Jade. So, I mean,
That's my biggest gripe. Like,
right.
she only cuts promos backstage. They never bring her out to the ring for Dynamite. Like, I mean, I don't understand. Why wouldn't you use her as a way to push? If she's your TBS champion, she should cut promos on TBS then. And then,
Yeah.
and if Rampage is her show, then she wrestles on Rampage. But you have to have her in front of the audience building actual, like, promos and storylines. It can't all be backstage. It just doesn't.
I got a question for you. Do you think that the whole Jericho
Appreciation Society.
sports entertainer gimmick works?
I don't. I don't. I'm done.
I
Like,
think it doesn't work at all, and I think that's because within the context of AEW, let's just say, let's blame it on him per se, because I think that might be the way it goes. Like, he's not doing anything to be really a sports entertainer, right? Am I wrong? Like, so if the gimmick of being a sports entertainer is that, like, kind of wrestling doesn't really matter, it's more about, like, right? Well, how would you describe it? It's more about getting over and eking out wins and not being a wrestler, But now he's going on this ROH run, which is cool because he's like trying to take out the legacy of ROH. I kind of dig that, but you'd be doing that through sports entertainment, right? Which would be like winning. What they're not. He's not like, if this is true, what else is true? He's not playing the game of sports entertainer really at all.
It's like a
More of a
new ver
catchphrase.
it's like yeah, and it's like, I guess that's kind of like what he was doing when he had his like New Japan run, right? Similar kind of thing too, where he like became the champion, but like,
Well, this New Japan run was the Painmaker thing, right? So, I mean,
yeah, the Painmaker stuff. But like, I felt like when he was like winning the titles, I mean, I'm probably wrong here because I don't really remember it too much, but I felt like his whole thing was that, like, like, fuck New Japan, like, I'm the GOAT, I should be the champion, and like, this doesn't even like really, like, he didn't really respect the championships, like the
right.
prestige that they have in Japan, right? And so I guess he's kind of doing that version of this here. I have Jericho fatigue. I have very, like, I think
Yeah.
now, especially with Kenny and the Bucks not being around, I feel like Jericho just went, whoop, okay, it's me now. Like, everything revolves around me. He opened the show last week. He fucking main evented
AEW
this week.
kind of
He's main.
undeniably rough spot right now at AEW, because the exciting shit was that Kenny was back, that CM Punk was back, that MJF was back, and MJF being back hinged on those two very strongly. He's the master heel. He needed those big babies, And the interesting stuff, a lot of it revolved around CM Punk. That just is the fucking truth. So that's why I just keep going like, wow, they're gonna get rid of him, It's a fucking mistake. I obviously can't speak for what an ass he has to deal with, and what, like, Tony Khan might just be backed against the wall here, where it's like, yo, this guy's completely unworkable, but dude,
Well,
make it
it's
happen.
wild. It's wild too, because now more than ever, with like Punk not being there, Kenny not being there, MJF just like is like on an island by himself. Like, he's on the island of relevancy by himself. Like, I don't think anybody's Like Mox is the fucking man, but like the guy doing the best work, like especially television, is far, far, far away, like far and above MJF. Like
No,
it's
like
not even
MJF
close.
wrestling like Wheeler Yuta is like silly. Like, not that they, that's not that that's not a match that we can't
Well,
see. That's fine. But MJF should be in WWE. He should be working with those guys. That's just at this point. That is just is what it is.
I mean, like, I don't know what I mean. I think an MJF Mox match would be good, but I'm starting to
Because
feel
MJF's
like
gimmick is essentially sports entertainer.
I think at this point too, I'd almost rather see. I don't know what match I think would I would want more, MJF versus Mox or MJF versus Hangman, because I feel like Hangman and MJF could tell a better story, but like I feel like the match between Mox and MJF would go in a direction that would like Mox would get the best out of him, kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Because I watch MJF wrestle and he's very like he does his in-ring wrestling isn't superior, I would say. He does enough to get it, and plus he does the heel stuff, and he knows how to work the crowd better
Yeah.
than anybody else in the fucking in the company.
He's very
So like
athletic, but
he's
he's not
by the way,
wrestling like he's not going like crazy indie style.
one jacked out of his fucking mind right now. I
Looking
mean, he's
very
been hitting
thick.
that fucking
He's been in my mom's gym.
lifetime fucking fitness, whatever it's called, like nonstop. And two, Equinox or Lifetime?
I cannot disclose that. That's
Okay.
private information.
You probably said it about a
I
thousand
can't have
times, but
anybody working out with my parents.
and MJF.
And MJF.
And two, love the all black gear. I mean, talk about a guy that gets it. I mean, the
Oh,
all
yeah.
black on black is just fucking gorgeous for him. And he's playing this devil. I love it, man. I really do. I really do. But like there is no denying that this is Tony's show, and he's obviously putting a strong push because he's trying to get the ROH, but it like there are so many wrestlers getting put on the back burner right now in that company that should be being pushed to the front. I mean,
Yeah.
Miro like was doing a whole thing. I mean, the stories are getting derailed left and right. We had Hassan Black doing stuff now. All that's like all over the place. I
House
mean, it's
Black's
just like,
absence has been very interesting.
well, I mean, it wasn't like it was ever in the forefront anyway, so.
No, but it was definitely
But
it
like
always
even,
had a segment.
but then like Darby Allin versus Jay Lethal. I mean, I'd rather fart in a can and smell it for fucking 3 days
One
straight
thing I've
than
realized,
watch
this podcast
Jay
has no
Lethal.
love for Jay Lethal. Between you and Newman.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing. It's just,
I have no love for ROH, the way ROH is folded into
and we're still
AEW.
doing,
Because
we're
first
still
off, if
doing.
you want to fold it in, it shouldn't have more than one segment, right?
Yeah.
Because it should be like, oh, here's the ROH segment, right? That's how I would do it. It'd be like, you know, it's like, and it would have different logos. It would look a little different. You'd be like, here's the ROH segment. But the way ROH is, it's kind of like a company that just takes over the AEW programming. It's very odd. It's very,
Okay.
very fucking odd. The whole
Let's
thing is odd.
can we go
But
to
what happened
WWE
to
because
stuff like, what happened to stuff like Britt Baker would have like the dentist like shop? Remember?
gone. They
Then
workshopped
she just
that on
cut kind
like
of just like a shitty backstage segment about Saraya's being cleared. You know?
Can we go back to WWE?
Of course.
Yo, Sami Zayn
That.
backstage.
Oh, yeah. That, Sami Zayn
Sami Zayn
backstage just he was
backstage.
shooting the shit with the Usos and Solo was not happening, having it.
No, well, oh,
Yeah.
no, Jay wasn't having it.
Yeah.
Jimmy's fucking dying. He goes, oh, I'll do it the Tuesday. And she goes, my dog. Where's my dog? He goes, my dog, I'm right here. Now, he's
Yeah.
got to be a trained improv, right? Do we know that about Sammy or no? Like, I feel like he's a
I
trained
think that
actor
I
in
was
some
watching
kind of way.
Caleb Braxton in on Instagram talking about how Sami Zayn is one of the most like prepared comedically guys. Like he's always running through like what, you know, his goofs and stuff. And I know Sami Zayn, you know, I mean, he's Canadian. I believe he's had some training. I don't know. The Miz is the only guy I know who's actively taking improv and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Sammy's incredible, and he got Solo to kind of crack there. Jay comes in. I mean, what they're doing with the Bloodline stuff is just so awesome. I'm like so into it. And then what was the other thing I was thinking of that was great? Oh, Chad Gable doing a German suplex on fucking Braun Strowman. Like, yeah. And it made me think back in the day, cash-ins. I remember I was watching live. I used to watch wrestling live at cash-in. And I remember the holy motherfucking shit sound drop was happened live when Brock German suplex Braun, and Braun popped up immediately, and that got me to yell holy motherfucking shit. That was the only other time Braun Strowman's been German suplex. And let me tell you, Chad Gable is fucking, I was gonna give him this thing. He is like the Dolph. He's gonna be like the Dolph Ziggler of this era of wrestling.
Of his class.
And I honestly think that's a really good compliment. He probably will win a world title one day. He'll get a bunch of mid card stuff, but he'll always come out there. He'll always put on a performance in the ring, whether it's a grappling fucking performance or just straight sick pro wrestling. He's insanely talented. He's gotten Otis in a zone better than he has. Now they're even involved with Theory, so they're getting pushed to the forefront. And I think that has not everything, because Theory's been pretty on fire, but I think that has a lot to do with Gable and how fucking good he is on television. A lot of great stuff. He grinded through that Vince era. They called him Shorty G. Okay, bro? Shorty fucking G. Okay? That's insane. Vince tried to end him.
Something
okay?
I want to tell you about Shorty G, but I'm not going to. I'll tell you off air. But okay.
Wow.
And it kind of ties into something we were talking about earlier, but so Chad Gable, an incredible wrestling talent, mm-hmm. you know, and seemingly has the charisma to be great also. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a little confusing when a dude like him just kind of stalls out, but I get it. He's not huge. I think Dolph is a pretty good comparison for him. And because you're definitely seeing that the company, while they don't see him as like a big star for them, they're giving him the big matches and they're giving him time, you know, mm-hmm. he's getting dudes over.
Fucking
like, you know, he's
Amber
getting
Alert.
Run over. Oh yeah. That's Holy for you. Shit. We don't live in the same place.
Amber Alert.
So I totally agree. I mean, Chad Gable is fucking great. He's fucking great, you know. Jason Jordan, I mean, Jesus, I guess who knows with him, right? Saraya can wrestle again. Edge can wrestle again.
Well, he's from what I've heard recently. Actually, he's back. He's backstage doing production stuff. So
I saw him backstage when I was backstage at WWE. He was there, like with a headset on. He clearly was a producer or whatever, but he was fucking good, man. You read that Elias has grown his beard out?
Yeah.
Vince's career, he went out on Ezekiel pretty much.
Let me tell you something, that shit was fucking funny as fuck, man.
Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens was great with that shit. Yeah, that stuff was really fun. What do you think of the Seth Matt promo off where, you know,
and dicey.
If Matt, he must be comfortable with them being like, yo, you can't see your kids, right? That shit. I mean, it's not too far for me.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
No, Seth, I mean, they obviously talked about it. But, yo, kudos to Riddle, man.
Riddle's comeback was pretty slick. Obviously, I have a slight beef with, like, being like, yo, your wife main evented and you didn't, because there's an inherent misogyny there that's kind of you know.
Right.
But also, at the same time, we... Seth is on record as saying, like, when he was the first match of the night and she main evented, like, he did feel like something. Like, you know, I think he had some interview, which is like, it's not, you know, I didn't main event. Like, you know,
yeah.
was like, I didn't main event. Like, it just is what it is, you know? But all the digs on Seth were fucking great. Being like, him being like, yo, you're fucking losing like crazy. You know, you have never main evented a WrestleMania, you know? But Roman, everybody around you, you're always number two. That all was pretty good.
Yep.
These guys are like doing a pretty fucking good job of, you feel like they might hate each other, even though they clearly don't. You know,
Yeah, well, and especially
fucking rare in
since
wrestling.
it's being brought into like the fight pit, it's like, all right, there's only one way to fucking settle this. You guys obviously aren't gonna stop
Right.
attacking each other. So this is the be all end all, and let's do it. I mean, I think Cormier is gonna fucking kill it, man. I think he's going to be just a blast to watch in there.
That'll be fun. Buddy
And all the
Murphy, wait, also
oh.
gone, right? From AEW?
No, I think he just also took a break too. There's
Oh.
they both pretty much have
Because I
said
was going to
that.
say, just throw him in
But,
Judgment Day.
oh yeah. Oh no. All the White Rabbit clues are leading to a
Faction.
return at Faction are leading to a return at Extreme Rules. So how, let me ask you this, Dan Black, in what
Yeah.
capacity do they bring Bray back? Like, where does he fit in Extreme Rules? Like, no bloodline there. So let's talk about who's there, right? So it's Seth, he's got beef with, right? No,
Well,
I
Seth was
mean,
saying a bunch of shit about, Seth was saying how he, wants to kind of rectify that feud he had with Bray, right? So
kind of,
I thought that feud wasn't that bad, actually. People went really hard on that one match because it was shittily written, and they deserved it. But what, I don't know. They had a good feud, and when Bray won the title off of Seth in Saudi, that was fucking awesome.
and we don't
Yeah.
even know what, yeah, and we don't
Remember
even
the
know what we're
whole
gonna
ramp
see
was
and
lit
what
red?
version
Remember the
this is.
entire ramp was lit red?
Oh yeah, everything was
Yeah.
sick. I mean,
I think he does some version of the Fiend again, though,
yeah, I don't
Like, I think
honestly
it's like a
know.
combo, Like, I don't think he's gonna, I don't think he's gonna drop all of it. You know what I'm
And
saying?
then you think about like, all right. So Bray's always been in this company for how long? And he's always had his long-term creative and how he always seen it, how he planned on it to all work out every time. And every single time Vince derailed that, you know, right?
Yeah.
So like you could just take every
I mean,
example
that
from everything
Tampa
in the
Mania match sucked, remember? And then like Alexa
With
like just like was bleeding. It was like, what the hell was that? Remember?
derailed the whole thing, right? So now there's literally a writer in place who's friends with him, who believes in long-term creative, and a director of creative, which in Triple H, who also believes in very long-term storytelling. That I think this is going to just be an absolute fucking massive thing for WWE, like huge. I think this is going to get
But
all eyes on
we also
WWE,
have to like
like
take a step
all
back for
eyes.
Bray for a sec. We gotta take a step back for Bray though, which is like, well, yeah. I mean, the probably the idea is to build Bray into some kind of like movie star, But here's the thing with Bray. Vince did not really do that bad by Bray. Like he had some very key fuck ups, very
Right.
big
That's
ones.
what I'm saying. Derailed him. Like, so
Right.
like the train
And
was
but
fucking
mainly
going
Mania.
along.
Those are mainly Mania based, right?
True.
And those are mainly those two Mania matches, right? But at the same time, he gave the Fiend the run, a title run, He did have the Fiend lose to Goldberg. Remember?
Oh my fucking God.
I just remembered that.
And he did have the Fiend go into a microwave.
No, that was fucking sick. The Fiend
Light it,
getting lit
get
on
lit on
fire
fire.
by Seth was so
Randy,
good.
Randy,
By
Randy.
Randy. That was so good. That was so good. That was the best thing to ever happen during COVID. That
You
was
think, yeah.
the best use of the Thunderdome ever. This is like clearly pre-edited.
I clearly tell it wasn't
That
him.
was so fucking good.
Yeah, no shit. They
It
lit a
was
fucking
straight
dummy on
up.
fire, not a human.
That was when Randy straight up murdered Bray Wyatt. He lit him on fire. That was so fucking great, you know? Oh,
Unbelievable, dude.
God, that was fucking awesome.
And
That,
Seth murdered him
what was
too.
that, the Inferno match? What was it called? The Firefly Inferno or something? So what I'm saying is that for all of WB's, I'm saying, I think people discredit that, like, WB did a lot of very cool shit with Bray. The thing is, what Vince never did is he never went all in on Bray. You know?
I would say that he always got maybe like 75% there until it got to the point where he's like, all right, nah, I'm taking back control of
But
this, you know, because
but never made sense because he was always selling a shit ton of merch. You know? People
yeah.
we know were buying $700 replica belts. Wait, I think like 5 grand replica belts, right?
I don't think everybody ever bought the real one. I think we tried to convince Skylar
We
Aston to
saw
buy it.
somebody set. Somebody showed us a receipt for buying the one that was like $2,000.
I don't remember.
Telling you, someone we know posted the receipt for that. You know.
Someone we know.
Well, that being said, that title was one of my biggest disappointments of the Fiend character.
Did you
It
ever
was
get the
like,
fanny pack?
I don't know. I have to look through all my shit. But I'm excited to have Bray back, and it's almost like, God, with Bray back, whew, WWE's in a really nice spot. But this sounds crazy. But the thing I do want to see is I do want to see something to do with Karrion Kross and Bray, which is kind of crazy to say, you know? But that could be really interesting. See what they do there. Judgment Day feels ripe to just be completely demolished by Bray. Like he can engulf them, you know?
Man.
I don't think they're gonna do that. I think that'd probably be too lame, but I don't know. I think that whatever Bray does, I think my guess is that we're not gonna watch it on Saturday or Sunday or whatever and go like, oh, awesome. They nailed that. You're gonna be more like, cool, let's see where they go with this. You know what I mean? Because I think,
Yeah.
and that's probably if I was like consulting on that, I'd probably be like, don't expect to like wow people with this. Question marks in their head, you know,
Yeah, I
and
mean
then
that's
go.
all this has been
Yeah.
like this whole entire time has been question marks. So
So it should be fucking good. A lot of cool stuff. I mean, it's exciting. So Tula, what's your deal Saturday? You want to watch? By the way, Saturday, my movie Cursed Friends. You can watch me on Comedy Central.
oh shit, I gotta record
I'm
that.
in a movie on Comedy Central this Saturday.
That's amazing.
It's literally
I have
Thursday, and
work.
I have not promoted this at all. And that's because I'm an idiot. But yeah, yeah.
I have work this weekend, so
Oh, you can't be watching.
I'm not gonna be watching. And honestly, I really don't want to get spoiled. But I never end up doing that because I always end up just randomly opening up Instagram, and then boom, it's like the
Yeah.
first thing in my fucking face, and I'm like, fuck. And then once I get spoiled on one, maybe two things, I'm just like, fuck it, just give it to me.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to watch. I gotta watch my movie first, and then
Oh, watch fucking Extreme Rules Live. DVR your movie. Come on.
Wow, this is how you respect my career. 0%.
Mean, if there's anybody that fucking.
Comedy
Yeah.
Central, Cursed Friends. Check me out. Me, Nicole Byer, Nicole Richie, Harvey Guillen. Who else is in it? Joey
Hell,
Fatone. Will
a ton of
Arnett,
people. I saw a commercial for it the other day. It was like
Rob
everybody's in that
Riggle.
movie.
Yeah, a lot of people in this
Rob Riggle,
movie,
yeah.
including me, on Comedy Central. Check it out. I read the script. The script's really funny, and it's like spooky and scary. So check it out.
There were a couple questions, but I think we kind of answered them. Philip
All right.
Hollingsworth said, how can AEW course correct and become exciting again? And I think we said a lot of that stuff of what we think should happen, right?
Yeah. They also just need time here because they need to
Yeah.
heal from all
They
the
just
things that
gotta,
go wrong with Turtle.
fucking just while everything needs to slow down, Tony Khan has got his fucking foot, like the pedal is to the ground and he's
Yeah.
trying to go 100 miles per hour when he should be yielding and looking both ways. You know, like, just take a second and just chill, dude. This doesn't, just because things are scattered doesn't mean you have to do all this shit. Like, just chill out. Take a deep breath. Let things settle down a little bit. Get back into booking. People aren't going to leave. You're still going to get, we all know you get a million viewers and ratings. Like, we all know this shit. So, and then the other question was, Sammy Guevara backstage poison question mark. Does AEW have a locker room vet? Like,
I mean,
Jericho said he was that guy, and obviously
people clearly ain't scared of the consequences. You know, they're trying to get out of their contracts and shit. That's why they're acting
or whatever, like, or they just think they could do whatever they want and they think they're hot shit, but whatever. But other than that, Friday is the season premiere of SmackDown. We have new announced teams. Okay.
Wade
Booker
Barrett.
T's on NXT.
Wade Barrett. Who else?
Wade Barrett's on SmackDown. If what's his name comes back, Pat McAfee comes back, and it's Barrett, McAfee, and Cole, I think that would be a kind of a dope dynamic. But I have a funny feeling that Barrett, what's his deal? Can he still wrestle?
Well, I just spoke to his doctor, and I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
You are not the father.
No, I don't think he can wrestle.
Yeah, but other than that, man, it's fucking...
All right, I gotta eat. I'm so fucking hungry.
Battle of the Belts Friday at 11 o'clock Eastern time. So see you there.
Sweet. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Everybody, well, it's House of the Dragon.
Everybody. Bye. Well, bye. Yeah, Sunday probably. Bye. Maybe Monday. See you later.
All right, bye. Everybody, keep watching wrestling.
Okay, bye. I'm not going to say eat my ass.